at this time. Amen. Numbers chapter 12. Did you misplace your Bible there, Brother Glenn? I saw the detective come out in you. He's going to get out the forensics and check it out. Yeah, I enjoyed that. Numbers chapter 12. Amen. Good start for me. When I first got saved, of course, I wasn't raised in church. Didn't know anything about Christianity or Christian people. But I was blessed with being told about the biographies of some of God's men, and one of them was D.L. Moody. And they asked D.L. Moody one time, they said, "Why is it you preach with such intensity?" He said, "I preach every message as if it may be my last." I think it stuck with me for many, many years, since 1975. And, you know, I want to speak to you today and preach to you from my heart of hearts. And Numbers chapter 12 will be our initial text. But I'd like for you to just listen as I'll read you a different passage. "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God." And that passage of Scripture tells us that the stronger we are, the older we are in Christ, the more we ought to be able to seek the welfare of other believers. That is a mark of us growing in God's grace. A mark of us growing in grace is when we as a group of believers become strong enough that we're not always out to please ourselves. We live in a world where everything out there is trying to get you to want to please yourself. The more that we can become self-centered, the better marketing target we are for this world. And my subject matter today is really pertinent to us as God's people. I have a firm belief deep in my soul. I have had for many years, and I never even attend a meeting of the church without believing this, and that is that God's history is made in these rooms. That the history that we will find when we get to the other side, when it's all said and done, is made in God's work. And that if you took and you burned the entire Library of Congress, it would be nothing to God. It would be like a flash in the pan. I don't know if you've ever heard of that flash in the pan. Now, some of that might be from sticking oil in the pan, but where I come from, it was a bookie's statement, because the bookmakers would write the bets on flash paper. And they'd take them on the phone, they'd write them down, but if they got the signal or a mysterious knock, they kept a pan in the middle of the table, they'd throw them in one match, and all the evidence was gone. Flash paper. Amen. That's what the Library of Congress will be worth. That's what, if you took every single newspaper that's ever been printed since the beginning of time, will be worth when it's all done, said and done. That's what every documentary, every movie, everything except God's work is going to be gone. And we need to remind ourselves that every day. If you want to do something that matters with your life, live for Jesus Christ. Only one life, so soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. And that is scriptural. In our story today, this is a story, I want to read the whole thing if you would, and then I want to talk about these characters, and I believe the Lord's laid it on my heart because I'm going to speak to you with the heart of a preacher, with the heart of someone whose heart is completely, absolutely bound to God's people. They have a saying, I've got a thing on my phone and on my computer that says, "Long live the Brotherhood," and it shows a skylight scene. And it's a bunch of Navy SEALs lined up there in their battle gear. And you can see them on the horizon. And the idea is this, is you are supposed to. And now listen, if you want to find it, you will never find on the face of the earth a more diverse, weird, crazy, strange people than everybody else in this church but you. Amen. Yeah. Right? Yeah, they're weird, aren't they? If they could just get with it. You will never find a weirder group of people bound together from every way but God's people. You take true, saved, born again, Bible believing people, and we are a diverse. They want diversity? Come to a Bible believing church. You got people that the only way you get along with each other is God. Amen? Now, that's not so of us individually, but that's so of you. Amen. Yeah. Now, we got a little thing going on here in Numbers chapter 12. We've got the church in the wilderness. Okay? We've got them on their way, and we've got some characters in here that were key characters in the church in the wilderness, but we got a little church issue going. Now, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, and I wish I could say it, I wish I could somehow say it the way they probably said it, but they would have been so pious. Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? Right in your Bible, you know what they're saying? Who does he think he is? Later on, four chapters later in chapter 16, it comes out a lot worse. Dathan and Abiram, they get out there and their ending is not as good as this one. But they do the same thing. They go, who does he think he is? Let me tell you ahead of time who Moses thought he was. He thought he was a nobody. Moses thought he was done, washed up. Moses didn't apply for this thing of the church in the wilderness. Moses didn't aspire to it. Moses didn't have ambition for it. God said, you're going to do it or else we're going to be crossways. Let me say this to you. I don't know what state you're in today. There is one person you shouldn't let down in your whole life. Jesus Christ. Now you shouldn't let down your husband and your wife, but it happens. And it hurts, don't it? You shouldn't let down your brother and sister, but the safest way to not let others down is make sure that you have decided that you will not disobey, cross, sell out, leave him on his own, the Lord Jesus Christ. You follow the Lord Jesus Christ and you cannot go wrong in eternity. You follow the Lord Jesus Christ and you cannot go wrong with having invested your life, whatever you do with your daily life. And so we're going down through here. Now watch. Look at the end of verse 2. And the Lord heard it. Maybe this week I pray you say something and that phrase will come back. And the Lord heard it. Wouldn't that be bad? Over there in that little old country town I was in, way back before cell phones, this is probably about 1986. We're over there, cell phones over there, and we had a little phone line in there. Nobody ever used it. And I'm up there before Institute, and it rang. I was like, "This nobody calls this number." I picked it up, and it's two ladies talking. Hello, hello? They couldn't hear me. That's great. And they're talking, and you're not going to believe this. What are the odds of this? They're talking about, guess what? Their church. And guess what? They weren't glorying and hallelujahing about it either. They were doing the Miriam and Aaron thing, man. They're just going, and I was like, I wish I could get my voice through there. Hello? Hello, ladies. And the Lord heard it. Man, would that have been a blessing, huh? Woo! I hope someday you say something and then back of your mind's going to go, hello, Michael. I heard that. You ever murmured to yourself about things? What if you murmured and the Lord says, I heard that? Because guess what? He did. He hears every word spoken on the face of the earth. And you thought only the ladies could do that. Have you ever noticed group of women can be together? Ladies, this is a compliment. Take it that way, please. And they can all be talking at once and yet all hear each other. They had a little fellowship down there. My pastor did at his house, and I'm in the other room. And, one guy would say something, and another guy would say something, and I'm listening, and it's like, in the other room. And I went in there, and they're all nodding, and they're all hearing each other, and they're all talking. I'm like, if we tried to do that, we would just be babbling idiots, us fellas. It's just one thing, then another thing, and another thing. Your guy comes home, how was your day? Good. Oh, that explains it all. And so these two people, they're getting themselves turned around because the Lord heard it. Now watch. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which are upon the face of the earth. And we're going to talk more about that. Because when we get to thinking about Moses here, sometimes you look at Moses and that might not be what you thought of him. But I didn't say this. Moses didn't say this. He's not writing a resume. The Bible said it. The Scripture said it. That means there's something there to learn about what meekness is and the two extremes of meekness. Amen. Verse 4, and the Lord spake suddenly. I don't like when people in great authority like the Lord speak suddenly. That means you're in trouble. I used to hate to hear my whole first two names. Michael Robert. I was like, oh man, I'm in dead. Sometimes it was bad enough if you just heard your whole first name instead of just, hey, you. My dad would get my brother and I confused, Mike and Dave. I learned to answer to either name. That was the safest, healthiest thing you could do. So now, if somebody just looks at me and says, yeah, okay, yeah, I'll move the lumber, no problem. I went to work for a framing guy. I didn't care what name he said. If he just looked my way, it must be my job. I wasn't going to correct him because I'd gotten in the habit of not correcting my dad. And the Lord spake how? Suddenly, unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, come out ye three into the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. I believe with all my heart, can't say it's absolute so, I think Miriam and Aaron are kind of like this. Here we go. Who does he think he is? I really do, because that's the frame of mind they were in. They're like, he's married an Ethiopian woman, he's done this, he's done that. Later on, the thing that kept their mouth shut about him hitting the rock twice was they'd already been through this. But see, he'd already led them up and got them trapped at the Red Sea. He'd already got them trapped out there where there was no water. They already got hungry and all that sort of thing. Everything that went good was okay. Everything went bad was his fault. And so here they are. They get called out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called unto Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Notice he didn't say anything except about him having his relationship, the Lord's choice of relationship. That's all it was about. It wasn't about anything else. Now watch. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. Now watch. The cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, now they can see. And what? Miriam became leprous, white as snow. Do you understand? That's real bad. Okay? Whatever bad is bad, this is real bad. Leprosy is real bad. Leprosy, it makes you an outcast. It kills you. It eats your flesh up. You talk about somebody getting eaten up by something, that's what's happening. Bad stuff. Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, number one, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again, and afterward the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. I want us to think about this story for a minute, and I want you to go ahead and focus on a church. Moses led the church in the wilderness. God has always given us a pattern for things. I'm one of those people that I honestly believe the Bible is the Word of God. I mean that. It'll make me special at all. I believe it. I believe everything starts with the Scriptures. If I want to find something out, it starts with this. Now, you may branch out from it and everything. When I see something and someone says, oh, that's no good, I say, okay, if that's the counterfeit, I'm going to go find the real thing in here. Everything was made right in the beginning. Everything. So everything that's wrong here is the result of somebody taking what's right and turning it. Nothing got wrong by just somebody else creating it. God is the creator. So if I want to find out what's right, I go to this book. And so God says, I'm going to talk to you about how people are. And that's what we're going to talk about, people. Let's look at the characters, please. We've got Miriam. We've got Aaron. We, of course, have the Lord. We've got Moses. We've got Zipporah. We've got the congregation at the end of it. And I want you to think about these characters. Here's Miriam. Miriam is Moses' older sister. Got it? Can you imagine that relationship? Aaron is his older brother. Can you imagine? Do you think most people in their right mind would apply for what Moses is trying to do? Not on your life, man. Can you imagine her? Moses gets up there and she don't like what he's saying. And she goes, she says, I just remind you, I changed your diapers, young man. You know, I mean, that's how family is, isn't it? So here's what God does. God takes this, the characters, and first of all, they were close to each other. They were close. If you can find out how to deal with conflict and people close, you can find out to deal with anything. If you find out what the closest relationships in the Bible, then God will show us. So we've got Miriam, and God chose to use her, and she helped. Put him in that little ark, went and found her mama, got him where he could be raised by her. We got Aaron. Aaron is the older brother. When Moses is out there in the wilderness, he sends Aaron to get him. Aaron's his right-hand man. And so then we've got Zipporah. Zipporah, we'll talk about him in a minute. Somebody he picked up down when he went into the backslide of the wilderness. And so he's down there and hanging out. And he comes back and God says, lead. Lead. And so now the Lord is sitting there and these two get critical of their little brother. So it's like, now, as Christians here, what we are, we're brothers and sisters, aren't we? Right? I think a lot of Christians forget that. Or they transfer the dysfunctional side of brother and sister into church. But let's talk about the God way of being brothers. The right way of being brothers and sisters. The right way of doing it. They are close and they got critical. And so God says, and he's going to remind them that they were called to do different roles. Now, I want to talk about Moses a lot. Because when I look at Moses, here's what I see. Do you remember Moses' beginning? Moses was marked to be a deliverer when he didn't have any say in it. I mean, do you remember anybody when you were a little baby asking you what color you wanted your room? No. You're just there, aren't you? You don't remember being born. I know about when I was born because I look at my driver's license and I look in there and I was born at least that long ago, maybe longer. One guy said, if you look like your passport photo, you need a holiday. And so the idea is this. Moses is marked as a little guy. God works it out. He's raised in Pharaoh's house. His mama gets to take care of him. What do you think she's telling him as he's coming up sitting under all Pharaoh's, you know, rotten education? She's telling him about his history. She's telling him about God's people. She's telling him about all the way back to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the 12 tribes. And then she says, Moses, when you were born, God just said there was something special about you. And she'd say, Moses, I believe the way God put you, he's going to use you to deliver the nation. He grew up with that in his heart. You know, if you go to the book of Acts, it says before he killed that guy, he was mighty in words and deeds. That's what it says. He was a warrior already. He was a leader already. And then out he goes. You say, well, I thought he said he had trouble speaking. There are two kinds of words. One is spoken. What's the other? Hello, written. It looks like he knew how to write. But he had trouble speaking. That's not unusual. So here's Moses. He goes out and one day he's just so full of this thing and he gets so impatient. Now, the Bible says he was meek above all men on the face of the earth. Here's what I learned from this, observing Moses and then taking it out in the world. A truly meek fella, when he gets to his final, my cup is full, watch out. Amen. Right? Moses illustrates that. When he'd had enough, you know what he did? He murdered a man. So he's marked, okay, as somebody special. And he grows up in this home, and then all of a sudden, he becomes a murderer. He just lost it. He'd had enough. That guy has beaten one of his own. And listen, there's ought to be something in your soul that you want Christians to win. You want the people in your congregation, your brother, you want them to be victorious. If you're walking with God and walking in the Holy Spirit, there's something in the back of your mind that is always going to say to you, you want them to win. Not when you're playing in a sport, okay? No. It's not everybody's wonderful, everybody wins, and we're all winners. No, somebody wins, somebody loses, okay? I'm not talking about the peripheral stuff. I'm talking about in life. We're brothers. We're a brotherhood. We're in this together. And so Moses kills him. He has enough sense to bury him. When I lived over there, 8 of the years I was doing work over in Australia, I lived on the coast. And fair dinkum, this happened. This guy comes to me, and he starts coming to church, and he's homeless. So I helped him out a little bit, and I get a call one day from a phone booth. And I go down and meet this guy, and he's just all over. He says, I got to go. I said, why? He said, I can't tell you. I don't want you to get involved. He took off. You know what he'd done? I found out. True story. His buddy come by and he said, he really hated leaving you, preacher. He said, but he and this other homeless guy got in a fight and he killed him. And he buried him down there where the tide will come in and take care of him. And he said he didn't mean to. You know how that stuff gets. And he said he felt so bad. I said, about killing the guy? He said, no, about letting you down. I was like, maybe he's got to grow in God a little bit. You know. But the idea is that's what Moses did. Then he went and he managed a little out-of-the-way business for 40 years. He managed to go to the backside of the wilderness, and he was as happy as he could be. Now, I don't know if you can relate to that. I can. Man, I could take me a bedroll and a couple horses and a couple good dogs, and I could go out and ride fences. I could ride fences all over here or all over that. And if I never saw you again, it wouldn't hurt my feelings a bit. And it wouldn't hurt your feelings if you never saw me either. So there, we've got an agreement going here. But you know, I'm serious. I could just, Lord, let me go. I enjoyed working with horses and with dogs and with cattle. I never had one of them curse me out. The most I ever had one stomp me. And that was just kind of almost fun. But boy, I've had people hurt me. Moses, he was fed up, man. He'd had enough. So he manages to disappear. But then something happens. He meets the Lord unexpectedly. He spends 40 years. If you're going to be 70, it'd be like doing... At 23, for example, or whatever, he has this encounter, and he disappears, and he's gone for 23 years. And at 46, God... And he says, who's there? The Lord. I don't recognize that voice. Or says, you're really about not to. You are going to deliver my people. We don't have time to read it, but if you've read your Bible, you know what happened? He and God argued. He argued to the point that it says the Lord got angry at him. Now, first, Lord's like, I remember your frame. You're but dust and dust. And then he says, if you don't shut up, you're going to be dust. That's enough. I've had enough. Moses, you're going to do it. Now, I need you to get hold of this. Christianity is completely different than anything else on the face of the earth. Christianity operates on callings. It doesn't operate on ambition. It doesn't operate on intellect. It doesn't operate on abilities. It operates on a calling. I didn't understand that until I got saved. I got saved, and the Lord knocked on my mind, on my heart's door, my mind, and said, I want you to preach. I didn't know what that meant. If I had known, I might have been pretended I was deaf. So I go to this preacher, and I told him, and he's all thrilled. And I'm like, what does that mean? He says, are you going to teach a class? I was like, I don't even know the books of the Bible to myself. So I'd get up with that little book they had in that little church, and I'd call out a reference, and I'd have class participation. I'd pick on somebody that knew the verse. And I'd have them turn. They thought I was just doing a wonderful participation. I wasn't participating in nothing. I didn't know how to find that cotton picking stuff. And I'm saying to you, Moses is like, he's happy. As far as Moses is concerned, all this deliverer stuff is gone. As far as Moses is concerned, I am enjoying my solitude. Don't interrupt me. And God says, you are going back there. I want to tell you something. Everybody in here has a calling. God has something for every single person to do. 1 Corinthians 12, he calls it a body. He talks about a hand and an eye and an ear and a foot and everything else. Christianity operates on callings. And I have no choice in it, and other people have no choice in it. That's hard for us to get except within Christianity. He even says that he'll go and he'll pick somebody that's unlikely. If you think about Moses, Moses is unlikely. Moses, he's going to ask him to lead all these people through the wilderness, and Moses is one of those guys, if you push him, you're liable to get killed. You ever thought about that? And then he's the other extreme. He gets so upset, he just says, that's it, I'm out of here. And he's out there in the middle of nowhere with a bunch of sheep. And God says, you're going to do this. So then he comes and he starts doing it. But he was meek to the point of overflowing. So he gets there and he first gets there and they're all great and he gives the ultimatum and then they're all of a sudden everybody's against him. You remember that one? They go out, nothing happens. He doubles their workload or whatever. And now, no, you're an idiot. I knew this wouldn't go right. People are fickle, aren't they? Not you, but most people. Look around you. The people around you are fickle. And so all this stuff goes wrong. Finally, they have the Passover night. They're out of there. When they get out of there, guess what God says? Moses, go down here and camp. Guess where he takes them? He walks them into a trap, an ex-ambush. And now, guess what they all do? They come to him and say, Moses, we're praying for you. We know God's with you, Moses. It's all going to be okay. You have been smoking something if you think that. No, man, they're humans. So what do? He's already meek, number one. He's already wondering, why am I standing here at the Red Sea? You think he wasn't wondering what's going on? God even had to remind him that he had this giant, this magic wand, this rod. He's like, do you remember how everything else? I forgot the rod. Okay. What do I do? Hold it up. And what? Just watch. Now, wouldn't you think if you were, I know, you and I, we are spiritual enough, if we saw the Red Sea crossing, we'd never doubt God again, would we? Yeah, that was a real weak laugh. You know why? Because every one of us knows he has crossed the Red Sea at some time and we have doubted him since. Aren't we weird? So they get across. God takes the wheels off. I mean, the wheels literally came off in Pharaoh's life, and he was history. They go out in there in little ways, and what happens? They run out of water. So instead of them saying, Moses, let's have a prayer meeting, I heard a guy say one time, he said, I almost like to be a hero in the morning and a goat in the afternoon and a hero at night. He said, I have a teenage daughter. Smile, girls. In other words, you go in and out of favor so easily. And so Moses is in favor. He's out of favor. Now, what's happening, you need to understand, is Moses is meek above every man on the face of the earth. Moses is made to do this by his calling. And so this thing is weighing on him and weighing on him and weighing on him. And sometimes he gets so discouraged he's about ready to quit. And sometimes he gets down to pray with the Lord. And then one day the Lord gets mad enough and he says, Moses, get out of the way. I'm going to get rid of them. I'm going to take your family line and start over. But something comes through there. And Moses falls on his face and he makes intercession for his people that had been beating him up, murmuring. Because there's something about a shepherd and his sheep that you'll never change. A real shepherd has his sheep in his heart. And he loves them. And even through all the tough times. And when God calls a man to preach, whoever he is, and especially to pastor and to lead, God will take and put something down in there that's not, it's not natural. He'll take guys like us that could just, honestly, we could just out of here, never worried about it again, and he'll put something down in your heart where you care. And when it first happens, you're like, I don't know if I'm comfortable with this. I care too much. I've been working at this not caring thing so long, I've been comfortable with it. And then Paul says, we live if you stand fast. Paul said, it would just kill me if you don't make it. And that's what happens to a shepherd. And that's what happened to Moses. And Moses falls on his face and said, Lord, don't do this. If you will, blot me out. Don't do this, Lord. And he pleads for these people and he intercedes. And the Bible says he changed God's mind. That's pretty awesome to me. And so here's this character, and we say, why are you dwelling on Moses? Because he's the one they're beating up on. Don't you think after all this stuff, and then later, you know what happens? That God does this miracle, and he strikes the rock, and the water comes out, and they're all thrilled. A type of Christ. Later on, after this incident, he gets so frustrated, he gets his cup so full, this meek guy, that finally he's like, that's it, and he grabs that rod, and the Lord's saying, leave the rod. Have you ever been so upset you didn't hear nothing until after it was over? I was working with a guy one time. We're trying to cut this angle on a hip roof. And I told him, I said, look, I'll cut it. I had to do a bunch of these for him. And it was my boss. So he said, I'm going to do it. And I was okay. And he cut one wrong and he threw it off the roof and it hit the hood of his truck. And I rode with him to work and I'm like, this is not good. He cut the next one. He threw it. Boom! And hit the truck. If I'm lying, I'm dying. And that time it hit the windshield and bounced. The third one, bullseye, windshield. He looked at me and he said, "Why aren't you doing this?" I said, "I'll be glad to." That was a cold ride home. That's Moses, man. He's had enough, and he grabs that thing and he strikes the rock. And guess what God does? He gives them water. He blesses the people. Moses gets back to his tent. The Lord says, "Yes, sir." He says, "You ain't going in the promised land, Moses. You're going to have to stay out like the other rebels because you and I had a special relationship." Look at Psalm 106. God held him to this. But I want to show you what we as sheep and people and church members can do sometimes if we're not careful. See, Miriam had a special place. She got to do the music and all this stuff. And Aaron, the only reason Aaron didn't become a leper was he was in the priesthood line, and God wasn't going to corrupt that. So he struck as close as he could. Let them have a chance to repent. And we'll talk about that in just a minute before we close. But notice this in Psalms 106. Verse 32, please. "They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips." Moses made all kind of mistakes. He did. But Moses' place that he was fulfilling, that he was obeying, wasn't his choice to begin with. And that's the Christian life. You are not... Listen, God isn't going to call you to do something right here in this church or call you to the other side of the world because you're somebody. You'll have to wait till you get to the other side and find out why. So the Lord calls him out on this thing. I'm going to talk not just about these characters quickly, but the conflict. Where was the conflict? Was the conflict between Moses and God? Was God angry at Moses? No. Well, if the Lord had a problem with Moses, he talked to him about it. He says so right here. He said, "Let me tell you two something. When I have a problem with Moses, he and I go at it face to face." Now, face to face is about as close as you can get to conflict. You ever wonder why the drill instructor gets right there in your space? He's making his point, isn't he? And sometimes he makes it, he talk about your ancestry and everything else. Why? Face to face. Wouldn't you rather sometimes just get a note that says, "Hey, straighten this up"? I like one guy who was in the sales department of this company, and they had one of those maps, with their pins on it. And he said, "Smith," he said, "I'm not saying I'm letting you go, but," he said, "I'll tell you this." And he went over and he said, "I'm loosening your pin a little bit." And he said, "If I've got a problem with Moses, I will talk to him hard." And I know this. I know this as a preacher. We want God to talk to us hard. I called an old man of God one time. He's passed away now. I called him from the other side of the world, and he was down in Texas. And I said, "What are you doing, preacher?" He said, he was a straight down the line preacher. He said, "I'm just sitting here wondering how many sheep I've hurt needlessly." See, he had a heart. He had a heart. And the people who do God's work have a heart. And we take it to heart. And so this conflict was in their hearts and minds. And had he married an Ethiopian? Yep. Had he, one time Jethro comes along and he takes that advice. And it wasn't of God. If God wanted Moses, don't you think if God could give Miriam leprosy and he wanted Moses to stop, you think he'd have any trouble? I mean, Moses was probably looking for the pink slip when he'd come in on the table. "I wonder if he'll let me go today." Because he knew where he was headed, man. He's headed back to the backside of the desert. And I want to look quickly at the commendation and the correction. Instead of "who does he think he is," God says to them, "Who do you two think you are?" And I'm going to say this. Moses didn't even agree with his calling himself. Moses didn't go around thinking, "Well, it's a good thing God got me." He's probably thinking a million times, "Lord, why are we doing this? I let you down here. I let you down there. I get to worrying about stuff. Lord, I get discouraged. Every time something goes wrong, they think it's me." And I'm going to tell you something as a preacher. That is how we think. Because we care. We care more than you could ever realize. Because it's everything. You see, when you connect with people, when you become their shepherd, when you become the brotherhood and with each other, when you're helping each other live for God, it's a life and death matter. It's no man left behind. It's we live if ye stand fast, and if you don't, it just kills us. And that's what it's about. And that's where Moses was at. He said, look, folks, Moses didn't put himself here. Moses doesn't even want to be here. He doesn't even agree with me about this. So why don't you, Miriam, be thankful that I let you do this and this and this? And I let you, you know, she did the singing. Remember when they crossed the Red Sea and all the stuff and the timbrels and all that sort of thing? And Aaron, why don't you just thank God I let you be the head of the priests? Aaron, why don't you just stop and thank me for your calling, your place in the body? The confession, quickly. I want you to notice something about this relationship. This is very important. It was prompted by Miriam's shame. And the purpose was to restore order. But the price, listen, would have been fatal without confession. The reason we need to get things right in relationships is it will kill your Christianity. It won't kill you physically, but it will kill your vibrancy as a Christian if those things stay in there. Wouldn't it be something, I've thought about this so much, wouldn't it be something if when you weren't right with God and you came in, you looked like you had leprosy? Wouldn't it be something if your spiritual life was like a nothing that week when you came in, when you tried to sit up in the pew, you just kept kind of wilting? Huh? Wouldn't it be something if when you had an attitude, you just kind of slid out of the pew because your Christianity was dead that week? That'd be horrible, wouldn't it? Come on. Would you really want everybody to know that? But that's what happened to her. God says, let me tell you, I'm going to show you who's got the attitude here, sis. Boom, leprosy. But the thing is, that's a deadly disease. So she needed it to get right so that she could be right and healed. And us as humans in our relationships, that's what God's teaching us. And so, I want you to look at Moses for a minute. Here is the prayer of a shepherd, of a pastor. Watch. He pleads, Aaron pleads, verse 11 and 12. And Moses, did he lecture? No, he didn't. You didn't have. Moses said immediately, heal her when? Now, O God, I beseech thee. That's the heart of a shepherd. I mean, here he is. All this is happening. He's already got his boat loaded up, but he's praying. What were the consequences? She had to be separated for a spell. The congregation was slowed down, and then others suffered. And I want to close with the calling. I'm going to ask you in a minute here to stop. We will stop at 12:14. No, I'm just kidding. I think you have something at 12:15. I'm joking. Aren't you glad it wasn't 1:14? I'm going to ask you in a minute to bow your heads. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to sneak up on you. But I'm going to ask you to bow your head and ask God, what are you calling me to do? Right here. I'm not talking about you got to get up and say, I'm going to, you know, wherever. I'm afraid to name someplace because you go, I was thinking about this morning, now I'm called. But, you know, Timbuktu, okay, there. If that was on your mind this morning, then go. But I'm going to ask you to pray. Lord, what's my place in the body? Make it really clear to me, Lord. Work on me. And then secondly, Lord, I don't want to be like Miriam and Aaron. I don't want to get my nose out of joint. I don't want this to come between me and you, Lord. And then, because of that, between other relationships. Until you've ever tried to answer the call of God, you probably won't know what it's like when Paul said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. But when God taps you on the shoulder and says, you do this, or you and I are out of fellowship, it's a big deal. And Paul said, if I do it willingly, I get a what? A reward. If I don't do it willingly, I get a dispensation of gospel against me. I get a mark against me. So we're willing. We want this to be. You take your church, your pastor. I know this for a fact. I haven't talked to him about this or asked him, but I know preachers and I know this church. There's not a person in here he doesn't want to see you. I mean, absolutely be more than conquerors for Jesus Christ. win big. And yet, I'll bet you, knowing men like I do, fellas, that he's had a few Moses thoughts in his day. Discouragement, whatever. Frustration, whatever. Beat somebody with a stick. You know what I'm saying? And you as a Christian, I'm going to ask you, God, what are you doing with my life? Listen, I promise you something. You will regret fulfilling your calling when you get to heaven. You will never regret whatever it costs you to follow Jesus Christ. I can guarantee that, because I didn't say that. My Savior did. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Please, just every head bowed and eye closed for a minute. Nobody disturb one another. Our musician's coming. If you're not interested, don't distract anybody else right now. Please. Please. Would you say, first of all, Lord, remind me what you've called me to. You know, he's the word called, go home and look up your concordance in your New Testament. It fits a believer in many, many places. He's called us in all kinds of things. But in this body, he has a plan for every one of us. I guarantee it. This is what God's interested in on earth, is the work of God. This is what it's all about. And it goes on all 7 days of the week, but this is where we rally. This is where he feeds us. This is where he clothes us. This is where he fits us. This is where he corrects us. This is where he gets our direction from. And so everybody here is important, and you have a calling. And I pray that you would, right, while she plays, if you would, sister, if you don't mind. Would you please today say, Lord, the one thing in life I don't want to do is let you down. I will do what you've called me to do, Lord. I will. I will pray for my shepherd. I will pray for the Moses in the church in the wilderness here. I will, Lord. Because each and every one of us is after the same thing, to please Jesus Christ. Most likely everybody here is saved. If you're not saved, I pray with all my heart and soul today, before you walk out, you turn to somebody you trust and say, what does it mean to be saved? What must I do to be saved? I pray you would be saved today. You cannot, it's not possible to regret being saved. It is possible to regret not being saved and not doing what God called you to do. And he calls us to do from the smallest thing to the most noticeable thing. Jesus' name. Lord, these dear people in this place are like family to me. I pray for them every day, Lord. And I pray, Father, today, if somebody's lost, you would reach down in their heart and squeeze it as hard as ever and not let anything or anybody get in the way, and that you would save them. I pray, Heavenly Father, Holy Ghost of God, that every believer here would be thinking about today, about what you've called them to do in this work, in this body of believers. And that you would take and inspire them and infire them and enthuse them, and they would commit to thee to do it while there's time. The special said, there may not be another day. I don't know that I'll live till tomorrow, Lord. It's not going to be a great disappointment to me if I don't, because I can hardly wait to see your face. But Lord, if we're here, we want to be in this battle. We want to be engaged for thee with such little time left. Bless this work. Bless this pastor, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead, sister.